So first question, tell us a little about yourself and your connection to the foster care community.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's just important to know that before I came to the legislature, I worked in the nonprofit field. And while I was working on my bachelor's back in the early 2000s, to get through college, I actually worked at a level 12 group home for about 4 years, where I was actually intimately involved with the care and supervision of these young people. And I just remember the countless times where we had to pack up their stuff and we were just using trash bags to put their stuff in it, right? And so those were the first interactions. And one of my close friends in high school was in foster care. And there were times where, back then they would call it AWOL, or you just leave the house without permission. And he would just come to my house, right, to decompress or whatever was going on. So I had multiple interactions before I've gotten here to the legislature to think about, how can we do right by these young people?
I wanted to know what the biggest challenges are facing the foster care community right now.
Well, the biggest challenges that the foster care system, our child welfare system, has is to ensure safe and stable placements for these young people that are humane and that are places that we would even be proud to have our own children in, right? Not only that, systems that are in place to actually push these young people away from the system in the first place. So how can we help stabilize their own households and their families and alleviate the warning signs or the red flags that the household is showing that would cause us to take them out of the home in the first place? So first, let's push them away from the system and stabilize them. But if there's still a circumstance in which they will always be, because we're dealing with human beings, if there's even an instance where they are taken out of the home, right, and they become wards of the state, that they are in safe and stable places full of timely and quality resources that will help them to thrive and not just survive. Well, some of the red flags that might cause somebody to report that a child might be in danger or might be facing issues of neglect is, if I'm a social worker and I walk in, first I'm going to look at the cleanliness of the home. Now, the problem with that, because sometimes it's subjective, we all have our different definitions of cleanliness, right? For instance, if I'm going to clean something, if my mom was there, who's a retired nurse, she would say, "Put on some gloves first." I'm like, "I don't need no gloves to do this." And if it was a spill, all I do is get a napkin and wipe it, and that's it. Other people would get some disinfectant. They'd have some sprays. They'd have some, right? They have all kinds of stuff. So we all have our different definitions, and so, which is sometimes a problem. Is there enough food in the cupboards and in the refrigerator, right? Now, a prevention would be, if there isn't, okay, let's connect you with the resources. Are you enrolled in CalFresh? Are you enrolled in CalWORKs? Do you know where your local food bank is to ensure that you can stock up, right? So the idea is, let's help them solve the problem in the home instead of taking a child out of the home, right? And just saying, "This child's not coming back to you, fix it." But we haven't helped them to fix it in the first place, right? So it's just those type of things that might be happening. Maybe for some people, they hear a lot of yelling in the house, right? But they don't know that maybe mom or dad is bipolar, and they need assistance to get stabilized. But does that mean that taking a child out of the home is the best thing to do? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But the idea is find out what is lacking and try to help provide that need and let taking a child out of the home be the last resort.
Have there been successes in the foster care system?
Well, I think that we are starting to see more acknowledgement that the current system is not acceptable. And through this legislative year, and we even began it last year with AB 426 that I have, that I got signed by the governor, that basically drew the line that we have seen too many reports of young people sleeping in office spaces, children trying to be held in detention centers. And as a legislature, I'm proud to say that we're starting to draw the line in and saying, hey, if we find out that those are things that are happening, there's going to be some greater penalties for that than we've seen in the past. But penalties are not enough, because sometimes the policies and the way we fund things are putting some of these counties in those circumstances in the first place. So this year I've pledged to begin to alleviate some of those pressures and to set a new standard of what needs to be done and institutionalize reforms, institutionalize a constant evaluation and update of the system to ensure that our systems are being improved with the times.
You actually answered my next question, is what significance will AB 426 have in reforming foster care system? But feel free to elaborate onto that.
Well, what people have told me is that finally, they're seeing the willingness to do more reforms, to take bolder steps, to go into more detail on what we need to do to improve the system, and to finally take a critical eye and not be afraid to make changes to the system that we all have known that is broken.
What motivated you to fight for foster care community?
Well, I've decided to dedicate my life to the uplifting of all historically marginalized and oppressed populations and some of our most vulnerable populations. And so for me, this is a moral imperative. For me, this is a part of my own moral journey in terms of ensuring that we continue to bend that moral arc of justice. And our children who are in the foster system, welfare system, they deserve justice.
I also wanted to know, too, how did you handle emotionally challenging situations involving foster children and their family?
Number one, it's tough. It's a very stressful situation sometimes, because you're dealing with people who, in many cases, have had a lot of trauma. And hurt people hurt people. Yeah. Which also means that, you know, even in my own capacities, before I was trained as a social worker, were there times that I lost my cool? Oh, yes, there were, right?
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is that in many cases, it's the systems that are creating these circumstances where people can't be their best selves, whether it's too high caseloads being too high, whether it's not enough access of information and timely services and supports, whether it's, you know, us as a society not tamping down and eliminating poverty in our society. All these things as a society, right? This is a tough world. this is a tough place to live as a human being, even with our technological advances. And so there's more at play than just a single person or a family or a department. It's all, this whole world is all connected into this.
Mm-hmm. How was it like making sure that children were being provided a safe and nurturing environment?
Ask me that question again.
I probably said it wrong. Mm-hmm. How was it like making sure that foster parents were providing a safe and nurturing environment for the children?
Well, I think the best way that we can do that is, number one, making sure that we are giving them the resources to be able to do so as well. Right. Sometimes we always say, you need to do this, but we don't show you how to do it properly, nor do we give you the tools to make sure that you're successful. So the first thing that we need to do, and what we're intending to do this year, is to ensure that they have the tools that they need to be successful. Mm-hmm. And ensuring that we are responsive to their needs. When they say they need help, we need to give them help.
This kind of work is it's taxing at times, right, in the past, and it's stressful. This is a more personal note. How did you take care of yourself in order to take care of the people you were taking care of, the foster community?
Number one, I think what you always have to do is take care of the basics. I remember when I was a student leader at Cal State San Bernardino, and there was some speaker of student leaders in the state in the CSU system. And one of the best things that always stayed with me, the facilitator or the teacher at the trainer at the time, I don't even remember who this person was, but I remember what they said. If you ever find yourself getting frustrated and losing your cool, first ask yourself two things. Have you eaten anything lately? And have you been getting enough sleep? Because you are frustrated and you don't have much patience, if you're either hungry or you're tired. Mm-hmm. So I would say that just to anyone. We've got to make sure that we're eating properly, that we're sleeping properly, so that we can show up as our best selves.
Absolutely.
And then are we really rooted in our own humanity and ensuring that we're seeing the full humanity in one another? And sometimes giving each other grace, understanding that if you're a human being, there's going to be times when you're not coming as your best self.
It's all about empathy. Having empathy is
absolutely
really important. What do you think youths in foster care want us to know as a society? And what do you think they're asking for?
Well, actually, after the end of our last session, I actually had a listening session. And I've spoken to those who are in the system. And one of the first things that they want to be treated and have the same opportunities as any other young person. They want the availability, right, of extracurricular activities. They want to be able to do things like go to prom and go to basketball and football games and soccer games and the rest. They want stability above anything else. Just yesterday, I met with someone who is now in their 40s or 50s, but we're in the system. They said, by the time I was in the system and out of the system, I had 30 different placements, going to 30 different schools by the time they aged out. How do we expect anyone to come out of that experience healthy? The first thing that people need, other than food, shelter, is they need stability and predictability. Stability and predictability is the best way we can be our best selves. and we're simply not providing the fundamental things for human beings to thrive. And so I would say stability, extracurricular activities, and, you know, the ability to freely communicate when possible, when it's not a danger to them, with their loved ones, mm-hmm. right? And to be a part of a whole support system, right? Even the young people outside of the system don't have regular access to webs of support to be able to be surrounded by loving adults that can expose them to a wide range of thoughts, experiences, and opportunities.
Would you say that California is a leader when it comes to foster care? Like, where do you think California stands in this?
Oh, boy. I mean, if we're a leader, whoa, we're in trouble. When you say the word human, I always think of the word as a synonym, messy. To me, human just means messy. And if you're dealing with human beings, things are messy. There's a whole lot of gray, right? But we got to do the best that we can. And when we look at the foster system and the child welfare system, if we ask ourselves, are we doing the best that we can with what we have? I will have to say, no, we're not. We're not even meeting that minimum test. And so that's why I'm making this one of my top priorities. And, you know, I mean, I can't tell you definitively where we stand compared to other states, right? But we usually pride ourselves in being the leaders in so many things. And now it's time for us to be the leader in this area.